Morning, afternoon, evening. Hello, everyone, from wherever you're listening, whoever you are. We are back again. I know we take a lot of breaks, but I mean, that's what happens when you get a bunch of to do a podcast. So, yeah.
This change of today, accent.
We are joined by Wilfred at Ephraim. You guys be quiet so I can introduce you. We are joined by Wilfred at Ephraim 1000. Hello, Wilfred.
Hi. How's it going?
Good, good. Eugene at, I can't remember his handle. Eugene, please put your handle in the chat. Bunier at Bunier99.
What's good, everyone? How are you?
Damilola at, call him Dami Abe. What's Damilola? Dami at whatever his art is. But yeah, as you guys know, world football is currently in shambles and we have a lot to dig into. Unless you've been living under a rock, you know about the Super League, how it started and died and trying to start again. But I mean, yeah, we'll get to the meat of all of that. First of all, I want to start with Bunier because I know he's a very, very strong opposer of this Super League. So Bunier, what are your thoughts? First of all, how do you feel about the Super League? Tell us your feelings.
So, as Hakim said, Hakim used the word shambles. Man, shampoo is not the word. World football right now is in turmoil. That's the word. Like it's all over the place. Yeah, my feelings towards the Super League, like I'm actually strongly opposed the league, and it's just like the first thing that comes to my head is the lack of regulation in the model that has been proposed. So like you have a model where the biggest teams in the world are guaranteed spots in a Super League. So essentially the biggest stage in what they're trying to make the biggest stage in Europe right now. And the stakes are not as high as you'd ordinarily have in stuff like the Champions League. And I know like people would argue that won't you get tired of seeing the same teams year in, year out. But here you have teams that can't go up or down. The only reward for winning is money. That's literally the only reward, money. There's no relegation, so it really just takes out the competitive edge of the game for me. So that's how I'll start off. That's my main opposition to this Super League. So over to the rest of you guys who are strong advocates for this.
Fair enough. I know you made some good points, but I know Wilfred is a strong advocate. So Wilfred, would you like to share your own views?
I'm not going to lie. When the news broke of Chelsea and City breaking away, I almost shed a tear, man. Honestly, because look, throughout the year, I've honestly struggled to watch Premier League matches. I've struggled to watch La Liga, Serie A. Just the quality on show has been tragic. And, you know, the promise of the Super League is to have the best players playing against each other. I mean, every week. We look at the Bayern v PSG match and tell me you don't want to watch that every week. Like, come on.
But Wilfred, like, what about the soul, the history, like everything about football, like growing up over the years, like remember football, like 2K, remember your first, like the first time you watched Chelsea, the Premier League, like all those memories and everything, like wouldn't you miss all of that about the Premier League?
To be fair, like the plan isn't to leave the Premier League. Like for the teams, the founding clubs, they don't want to leave the Premier League. It's the league and the FA forcing them out. So I think that we can't really blame them for that. It's not exactly their fault. It's not their plan. But if we're talking about the Champions League and would I miss it? I mean, yeah, of course. You know, the anthem is quite symbolic. So we look forward to that every year, really. So,
unpopular
yeah.
opinion, but the Europa League anthem bangs more than the Champions League anthem.
I'm not going to lie,
The
ending slap, man.
But yeah. I mean, also, like, don't you think, Wilfred, don't you think that if, like, this breakaway Super League happens now, Like, mm-hmm. don't you think the teams just become way too rich for other teams to compete? Like, something like Leicester will never happen again. It would be literally impossible just because of the financial power of the top six.
So but let's be fair, like, these clubs are, like, the gap is already massive. That's it's already massive.
Yeah, we can see Leicester and West Ham trying to close it.
I mean, how much of that is down to them being really good and the other the rest of the big six being trash?
That's the truth, man. Because, like, if we're being honest, right, there's only so much money can actually get you in terms of talent. End of the day, the people that you buy are still humans, right? And if we all assume that these guys are professional athletes, I don't know, some of them are not, but if we all assume the footballers are professional, even if the money becomes, like, exponentially higher, the talent gap isn't going to change significantly. Mm. You know, so I think that whole idea of giving them more money will make them completely invincible, I don't think it really holds, because if anything, right, in terms of competitiveness, sure, the league is good. Like, the Super League would definitely keep things competitive within there. And I'm going to use the NBA as an excuse here, as an example, rather.
No, don't start with me.
No. Let me actually go into detail on this, because I don't understand this whole gra-gra about it not being competitive. If you go and look at the history of the title winners of all of these big leagues, the Champions League, Premier League, La Liga, Bundesliga, even Ligue 1, the name's the same, bro. The name is the same. the same guys in this team, in this Super League, are the guys who are always dominating, and they've been dominating. Now, what I want you to do is go and Google the past winners of the playoffs over the decades. Those names change very, very often, very frequently. And the reason for that is because of how competitive that league is. The fact that everyone has money allows people, and the dynamic system that they have with the draft picks and everything, that allows players to move around a lot. Mm. And that becomes a situation where you have teams that are kind of like built tactically, strategically, on a year-by-year basis, a bit, which is kind of different from this whole generational power that we kind of see here, where one big owner comes in, injects like billions of money into this club for like the next 4 or 5 years, and all we're going to see is them winning anyway, because they just have so much money. So I don't really think that competition is an issue with the Super League.
But Eugene, I also have another question for you. Like, I don't think it's just about people saying, oh, like, there's no competition. I think also guys are worried about the other clubs, because, like, literally, if you think about it, it's like, I'll use a weird analogy here, but, like, you know those, like, weird zombie movies you watch, and they're like, the zombies are chasing guys, and then everyone runs into this house, and then there's that one guy who doesn't make it up in time, and he's trapped out with all the zombies. And, like, basically, clubs like Leicester and West Ham that are knocking on the door of, like, the elites, there'll be that one guy who's left out with the zombies, and they'll just become one of them. Like, all the clubs are, like, just going to be zombie clubs.
I completely support what Montel was saying, because this whole idea alienates the rest of world football. So, if you're on that Leicester level or Ajax level, or if this goes through, you're not going to see another Ajax at the highest level of football.
It will just be a little harder. They can come in as the five clubs. It'll just be a little more expensive.
Like, you're forgetting you can actually qualify for this thing.
Yeah. You know, I don't think, like, we're making it seem like it's completely closed off. That's just not the case. It's instead of you having sort of Mitterland or Krasnodar crashing into the Champions League, whereas there are bigger teams who are just a bit more unfortunate, you know what I mean, in Europa, struggling for scraps in Europa that no one even watches. You have a situation where, because it's that much more exclusive, you're really going to see, like, guy, imagine if, like, teams like Roma, Sevilla, Spurs, I want to use Spurs because, honestly, I don't think they should have been in the permanent 12. Imagine if those guys are, like, having playoff level, like, championship level playoff games to get into the Super League. You know the kind of traction that the championship playoffs have to get into the Premier League? Imagine that for the Super League. That would be insane because that's actually quality teams. You know what I mean? Those are actually quality teams with people that we know playing, you know?
Mm-hmm. but all this is pretty much what I could have, because like that wasn't said in the initial model that was proposed. You know what I mean? This is just us.
What, the five guys? Imagine. It was.
No, wait, it wasn't.
The five guys was there. They said it, the 15 founding.
No, the five guys was there, but they didn't give the criteria in which the five guys.
Yeah, but it would be a qualifying system anyway.
It would definitely be a qualifying system. It would probably be a playoff system of some sorts. It'd probably be like those who are. It'd probably be the best of the rest in the best league having a playoff. You know what I mean? A playoff competition.
Yeah, some sort of qualifier.
Which I think is so cool.
I mean, all good points. But like, also, let's even get down to the nitty-gritty of why this is even coming about. So like, as everyone knows, the main thing here is money. He's going to be
money.
It's what you get with US.
I'll get to you because I want to ask you this question in particular. If we're being fair to the clubs, if you look at the way clubs are structured and the way they run, like these massive clubs worth billions are losing so much money. Like pre-COVID, the top 12 clubs, I saw this statistic, but they posted a collective loss of 1.2 billion. And this was pre-COVID. So like imagine the losses that they will post after COVID. So like, Olius, what do you think of the financial aspects of all of this? And like, is it actually a smart thing financially? Because football as it is now seems quite unsustainable with the spending and the wages and everything. Yep. So like, I want to know what you think.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, yeah, the spending, the serious wage inflation that's going on, transfer inflation going on, like, prices just keep rising. Like if you check, most football clubs don't even make any profits anymore. And then you're looking at these US investors who are coming in, like Manchester United came in with an LBO, Liverpool bought an undervalued asset and looking to, like, improve it and sell.
For our layman users, please, what is an LBO? Because not all of us are this financial.
They
bought it and they want to improve it and they want to sell it. So the way they're going to improve it is to try and improve the value. And, like, the European Super League is how they're going to do that. And, like, most of these, like, when you add the price inflation that's going on in transfer fees and wage inflation, to be able to compete, you're going to have to pay this like stupidly high wages. Like, I think you'll be seeing some stats, like clubs are paying like 80% of their revenue as wages. So like, stuff like this is like basically how all these like big clubs are going to be able to survive and like even like improve going on from this COVID situation. Like from a financial perspective, like it makes a lot of sense for them.
To get into the Super League, is that what you're saying? From a financial perspective,
it's clear. Like the Super League, like if you check the broadcasting deal that they expect to get is going to be 4 billion euros, which is double what they get with the Champions League already.
Yeah.
So like they're already expecting like the demand for this is going to be double in that sense. Because I mean, you're getting higher quality games. Like I know a lot of people like. Yeah, a lot of people don't really like it, but I mean, at the end of the day, people are going to pay for this because you're going to want to
watch. Yeah, we're all going to watch it.
You're going to watch Bayern, PSG kind of game. So for them, like, for them, this is very clear.
Like, bro, it's crazy because you. Let me just add something quickly. It's crazy because, like, not only do you have a massive pump of like money into these big clubs. Right, from like Dami said, you get the extra like 2 billion on top of it, but it's a situation where most of these big clubs were, as we've clearly seen, virtually financing all the other smaller clubs in their respective leagues by purchasing these players and moving the money around accordingly. Like the way in which these leagues are already set up is very unfair and unequal. And that's just the fact, right? But at the same time, not only is it unfair and unequal, it's also just not efficient. I think I saw a stat somewhere where they said like La Liga's, the difference in La Liga was about, what was the alpha, the multiples they were talking about, where the winner of La Liga earns about a bonus of like 3.5 times.
Yeah,
3.5 more. Yeah.
The more Super League is meant to be 1.5.
Yeah. You know, so everyone gets money in that situation. So all of those 20 clubs can still inject money into their respective domestic leagues. I think personally, I think the idea was like UEFA just needed to kind of look at this a bit more holistically and see how they could create a sustainable ecosystem with the Super League, as opposed to like completely adamantly going against it and saying, oh, we're going to ban you from everything that we have as well. Because that just, from their own economic standpoint, that is stupid, you know?
but the issue for UEFA is that if you have the Super League, then the Champions League is dead.
The issue is
a better Champions League, but it won't be under UEFA. So that means that UEFA are not getting any money from that. So that's their own issue.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's
the issue. Call from UEFA. I want to ask you guys another question. Like, if we look this whole situation, what really irritates me and why I find it hard to buy into the media propaganda is because how are UEFA and FIFA the good guys?
After all the corruption, even ask Eugene, did you get dropped a mad coursework on him?
Literally,
on Blatter.
Bursting my brain. Like
even the new UEFA reform they agreed is even about more money to these big guys. So like these UEFA guys are still the money grabbers, but like they somehow turn to the good guys.
Look, right, all these guys, UEFA, FIFA, they're what you describe as gangsters, but the real gangsters walks into the room. The real gangster walks into the room. Like, the real gangster is the Super League, bro. Like, that is why, like,
Florentino. People are looking,
we already know. Yes, Perez is the real gangster here, bro. Like, people know, okay, there's been corruption and all that in UEFA and FIFA in the past. And obviously,
in the past,
the media in this whole situation has kind of painted them to be the good guys. But I get why that is, right? Because, like, at the end of the day, like, I get football is a business, right? But this business, football as a business, is built on the back of the fan base and the communities around the world in the various leagues. So, like, how do you, and that's what makes the game beautiful. So, like, how do you actually take out all the elite clubs in the world, slap them in a league, and just forget about all the grassroots supporters, grassroots players, grassroots clubs? And I get what Eugene is saying in the sense that most of these domestic leagues are funded by the big clubs in the league. But I mean, I guess that's just like, that's just how it is. That's how it's pretty much always been. Like, why would you want to change that system and then leave the domestic leagues to go to nothing, basically? Because once the big clubs,
They don't want to leave the domestic leagues.
Yes, but you guys are forgetting that the main if this structure, I mean, it's breaking down now, but at the time that talk started happening of the resurgence of the Super League, the main focus. So I mean, it's the same way like an analogy here, the same way like managers would play a weakened team at the weekend because they have a Champions League game coming up on Wednesday. It's the same thing here. The main focus of the clubs are going to be the Super League. So they're literally going to treat domestic league games as a Carabao Cup game. I'm not trying to wake up to watch a Manchester City derby with Rory Delap's son and Daniel James being the stars of the derby. Like, do you get what I mean? It literally takes out, as I said, with competitive edge, it takes out the competitive edge of domestic league. So saying that, okay, yeah, they're still going to be in domestic league. They're in the domestic league for sure. They don't care about what happens in there or not. You get what I mean?
Yeah, I get that. To add to your point, actually, one thing I also kind of understand for those against the Super League is that whole idea of you actually don't want. There's something about, I think it was Pep or Ozil said it, that there's something about having these games as infrequent as they are, or having these specific matchups between like the European super giants as relatively infrequent as they are, making it magical, right? And
exactly,
when you have these things happening at the same frequency as Premier League games, I guess I can see where people might think it gets boring, to be fair. I personally think I would watch more of the football if it was stars playing against each other as often. But I don't know, man. I can see how people
From yeah, there'll just be. I mean, there'll be a lot more better games. Like, I think in general, people will just like. I mean, the average quality of games will go like much higher and stuff. Like, people like I think at the end of the day, people want to watch the best. You want to watch the best players play against the best players. Like, you want to see like Messi's and Neymar's playing against each other and stuff like that. Like, even if before like, it was rare, but I still think like even if like they were weekly, like I don't think the drop off. Like in like demand from fans would be as much. I think like just the general quality of games, like just what you're seeing, like Neymar dribbling a player, Messi dribbling a player, like just the general like the entertainment factor will like always be there. Like you're never gonna get bored of Neymar not making a player. You're never gonna get bored of Messi dribbling around the Bilbao teams. How many times he's done it and scoring goals, like stuff like that. Like I think like just seeing it more and more, like it'll just be better. And then those teams as well, like. In general, like with the whole Super League, like they'll all just get like better. They'll all just have more quality teams as well. So like the products will just be like so much better. Like I definitely a superior product. Like definitely. Right. Nah, like I don't think you can ever get.
It's
bored.
Not all about the product. Like what about the heart and soul of football? Like what football
used to be, heritage.
Like, exactly, literally, like football heritage, guy. Like, okay, like
you know, guys used to change the
idea of like the underdog and everything. And look at how like magical like that Leicester season was. Like in a Super League, it can never happen. There's no way one of the five teams that gets in will be able to win it.
No, but I mean, it can happen. Nobody expected Leicester to happen. Leicester were in the relegation battle the year before. There's no saying like somebody out of the five can't like come in and like do a Leicester and just magically like beat all the teams. Because the gap financially is large between like Leicester and the big six. But I mean like the gap was massive already. So like.
Mm-hmm. No one knew Kante before.
They're already very rare. The last time anybody did it, apart from that, was what, 2016? Before that was 1995 with Blackburn. So,
yeah.
Like, they're already really, really rare.
Can I pose a question to Eugene? So, Eugene, you're a Spurs fan, right? And you guys, where you guys are going with this whole, you're going to get superior product, the entertainment factor will never not be there. But I actually don't think so. I feel like, and let me tell you why. Because these talks developed to the point where these clubs have come together, well, before now that things are falling apart. But at the time where it was coming up, these clubs, there was talk about the club signing a 23-year deal, right? And you're talking about a 23-year deal with 15 clubs fixed, and you're seeing these big matches, and you're year in, year out, and you're seeing the entertainment factor wouldn't leave. But I don't think so. Why? Because, Eugene, when Spurs came back and beat Ajax in that semi-final, how did you feel? I'm sure that was the best. How's the best feeling you've had from the sport in a while?
Do you know? I took my shirt off and I jumped on the kitchen table.
Like, moments like that will make you, and those moments are special because they don't happen so often. If you're seeing that week in, week out, or you're seeing your team get, as in, shot on week in, week out, which would probably be the case, as in, if for Tottenham and Arsenal in this Super League, like it just takes away that feeling. Like as a Spurs supporter, you can't feel like. It's going to be a while before you feel that again. The whole 23 years deal, you're not going to feel that again. I think
that's more to do with the fact that it was also a semi-final too, and there'll also be semi-finals in the Super League as well. So you're still gonna have that comeback in like the semi-finals too.
They can be mad.
What made it beautiful was that no one expected Spurs to be there, and neither did anyone. No one expected Ajax to be there in the first place. And what was crazy is that in that fixture, Ajax were the underdogs, and somehow they were on top for a while, and then Spurs. Like that, I remember watching that game. I think Eugene, I don't know if we watched that game together. I know we're in London at the time that game was played, but I remember watching that game. I was like, no, this is what football is about, and the fans, like, man, you can't. In my opinion, you can't take a decision on the game that will change the whole of world football and not
what
care
I will say,
what the fans have to say. That's just my overall.
What I will say in response is I do definitely agree with you stating that point about it not being as magical. At least as a fan of a specific club, it won't feel as magical, right? But I think from a neutral fan's perspective, the argument still stands that the football will just generally be more entertaining. And what another thing that I will say is, at least because I also like do follow the NBA, I do follow basketball, and this is a system that actually uses the franchise dynamic pretty well and pretty effectively. I definitely still see those magical moments happening in the NBA, you know, and I can list them off the top of my head. I can talk right now, if I think of one, I can think about the Raptors, Sixers, Eastern Conference Final. Dammy, you remember that.
Kawhi's the final three.
Yeah, the final three. And these guys, like, they play each other all the time in the regular season. But when it hits playoff mode, it's just a different vibe. It's a different atmosphere.
That's what I mean by the semifinals. Like, it's a different vibe. Like,
it would be a different vibe. And it like, would be you will still get atmosphere. It.
But you know, you guys, sorry to interrupt, but I just
we have ads.
Received some news. We would have ads, yes, but... advertiser, if you're listening, we are already. We are like you. Come and rub our pockets to promote your products. Anyway, I just received news that now four clubs have withdrawn from the Super League. The four clubs so far are Arsenal, Chelsea, City, and United. Only Liverpool and Spurs haven't formally withdrawn.
That's what Spurs need. We need that money, man.
I really can't believe the US boys folded this quick.
Honestly, you're spying.
I would say, like, I mean, first of all, bro, do you know I saw something so shocking today that the owner of Manchester United said he doesn't understand the offside rule.
And do the refs understand it?
No, <it hasn't.
laughs> but do the refs understand
it? I just found that so funny. Like, these guys are... Like, it's not to even push any agenda or anything, but this whole league was a ploy to make money. Like, it was just a ploy to line the pockets to make the rich richer, basically. Do you get what I mean? And referring back to what I said about you can't in world football, like, football.
Sorry, new news. Liverpool and Spurs have joined, so
it's officially a wrap. Six clubs.
Nah,
wrap. So, like, what I was saying is football, like, the game is built on the back of fans and a community. Like, you can't underestimate what a football club does for the community it's built in. And just, I saw a quote from I can't remember who was, a board member involved in this, in this whole Super League talk, and I quote, this quote said, the primary job is to maximize our revenues and profits.
Yeah,
the wider good of the game is a secondary concern. And I was speechless. I couldn't even, like, I didn't know. At that point, the Super League was definitely a no-no for me.
I swear Woodward once said that his job was to maximize shareholder value or something like that.
But, I mean, now we see where Woodward is. Yeah, like, bro, it doesn't make sense to me to take such a big decision, to decide to branch out and... look at the uproar. I strongly think it's the uproar from the fans, the players speaking out that have actually gotten clubs to withdraw. Do you get what I mean? So yeah,
I know we all love footy and everything, right? Like football itself, like watching sports stems from that whole idea of just watching like people kind of pit themselves up against each other for the sake of. Not violent war, you know. If you think back to like the gladiator times, people got so much entertainment from just watching people fight against each other. It's that whole idea, but just less violent. And I understand the whole heritage of it, but let's actually just not get things twisted. It's still a business. It's still very much private sector. Let's not get it twisted. Like, people can be very passionate about things, but end of the day, like. Capitalism is the structure that's in place within the society, and it is, in my opinion, it's the structure that is almost most well suited to that of human nature. Like, humans love greed. We love it.
Yeah,
it's we love it. And let's not act like we don't.
Me, myself, and I.
Let's not act. You know,
because the boy live in direct.
Let's not act like we don't love that shit. You know, we live and die for money, something that we created by ourselves. And so people saying that, oh, how can you put money first, this and that? Come on, man, come on. Because end of the day, right? I actually had a conversation with someone, and someone was telling me that this situation is very similar to how in politics you can have a very, very wealthy person kind of fund their own campaign. You know, the likes of Trump or Bloomberg, or I mean, Trump didn't really fund his own campaign, but you have the likes of someone like Bloomberg, right, who will just be a billionaire, come into politics, use all his tactics, and then find himself into power, and then have to like make decisions for the whole majority of the Democratic majority who don't have a say in it. And they likened that situation to this situation. And in my mind, I'm like, these are two very, very different things, purely because one is public sector, where you're making decisions to change policies that actually affect people who have no right and say, like you're taking that agency away in politics. But in here, it's all private sector. Like, end of the day, even all the way down to the people cleaning the stadiums, they're all getting paid. You know, people, us, we're here and we're funding it by watching it and talking about it and doing everything. And we would still watch the Super League. You know what I mean? That wouldn't change. If anything, it would just be more efficient, in my opinion.
They were trying to
strong up the business. Like, they can't be
what saying.
Yeah.
I think the whole thing that I was saying, I think it's right, because I think we as fans, we are also partly culpable. I think we've sold our souls to like these billionaires and everything, because at the end of the year, like, everybody wants their club to be bought by one super rich
sugar daddy is going to spend all the money,
spend, and yeah. Like, our judge of a good owner and a bad owner is
one who spends,
spends good owner. Crocky doesn't spend, bad owner.
I don't know.
So, like, only thing about it that way, like, we have already sold our souls to these billionaires. Mm. And if you think of a billionaire, like, how does a billionaire become a billionaire? He doesn't become a billionaire by throwing away money. So when he sees that, like, his club is losing money, he's going to find a way to make his club make money.
It's all about returns, man. You need to maximize the returns.
Literally, like, even the UK government and all, like, look at the way the UK government are also culpable in this. Look at the way they came out outside saying, oh, like, Boris Johnson saying, oh, I'll not allow this to happen. Guy, what's Boris Johnson
been there? What's his business, bro?
Like, yeah,
let me stop you there.
From England. So, as in, they are doing all this, they are whatever. Where was he? Okay, like, another good example now. When the whole pandemic hits, the clubs lower down in the pyramid that the government so suddenly care about so much, they were in such financial debt.
Administration,
the money. The government said, no. Go.
Yeah,
go.
Yeah.
You pay your taxes.
The chairman.
Your 40% taxes.
No, did you guys hear what the chairman of Crystal Palace even said? He even said, he said, why should, like a big, like, what's the one of these, like, big fast food stores, why should they bail out the busman? Why should they bail out a convenience store, basically? Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. You see,
didn't the government offer COVID relief funds for football clubs?
Let me tell you what they offered to those
clubs.
They offered them some stupid over leveraged loans that they probably would have had a very difficult time paying back. Look, those clubs ended up getting bailed out by other big Premier League clubs.
Yeah.
The government did nothing. And now the government, they have the guts to come out and say, oh, we want to safeguard, we want to protect. They don't care about it.
They just care
about the revenue that the Premier League makes.
Gets,
and
the money,
the
money that's coming in. And
yeah,
the Premier League
is going to be good, guys. It's
okay,
rubbish.
But okay. Hakim, thank you for making that point. Because, like you said, the bigger clubs in the league build out the smaller clubs in the league. So what happens when the Premier League or the La Liga or whatever domestic league around the world is not the main focus of the bigger clubs who are entering the Super League? Bro, I haven't heard any talks of solidarity payments to their domestic league.
They did.
Like, it's
like a whole 10 billion package, like,
solidarity payments.
So that to the leagues, like, they said it as well. It's in the whole package. Is there,
I'm so convinced most people didn't read this P. I am very convinced.
Subscribe to the FT.
I know Gary Neville didn't read that shit, bro. I know Gary
Neville didn't read that shit. Gary Neville was too passionate.
Gary Neville just has an agenda. Jimmy Carragher, I like Jimmy Carragher's style.
Carragher's quite objective. Like, he was quite objective in his argument.
Neville is just,
Bro, Neville was complaining about the paint job in the Old Trafford.
Yeah, Old Trafford, like...
Those haven't even been the only funny moments in this whole fiasco. What killed me was that the president or the head of the ECA, European Club Association, right? That guy was head of ECA while planning the Super League. That guy was in talk to the Super League, and he was head of the European Club Association. I couldn't believe it when I said, "What guy?" I'm like, "No, this guy's a rat."
Yeah,
this guy's a rat. I couldn't believe it, man.
To be honest, what I would say is that I just don't think they tried to execute the Super League thing well. And that's why it failed. I think the concept itself was not a bad idea, but I think you can't just, for something that, for a change this big, you can't just blindside
at once. You can't just try and do it at once.
You can't blindside the world. You know, you have to get the majority support. You know, you have to get the fans on your side with the opinions of this. And that comes from marketing. Think about it, bro. Like, you don't just launch. Imagine Apple coming in and saying, you know what, we're not selling iPhones anymore.
Yes, well, everyone's going to turn against them, bro.
Everyone's just be like, "Ah, what the fuck are you doing? Like, what are you doing here?"
Guys, people could really like it, but it's just very risky because you never know which way
it's too risky, bro. People don't like change that abruptly.
People could really like it, but people could really hate it.
People don't like change that abruptly. That's one thing. Like, change.
Yeah, you can't get ready. You can't transition smoothly into it. It just comes, and you have to accept it, and like you don't feel like you were part of it.
You don't have control. Like, I was quite surprised when I saw that they planned to do this thing this coming August.
April, I thought that was optimistic.
You know,
that was very optimistic.
Well, the only thing that went to my head, game's gone. I'm done with this war. The game's gone.
By the way, it's funny how there's also these, FIFA, who are strongly opposed to this, are literally in the process of creating an African Super League.
Yeah, I saw that.
FIFA creating an African Super League. I think it's either end of this year or next year.
But I that's do, crazy. If you know anything about football in Africa, like, the grassroots teams, like, are not even really properly funded. If that makes sense, do you get what I mean?
Are they even grassroots teams?
Yeah, there are.
Is anything funded
in Nigeria? There are 4 tiers of football. You wouldn't know. You only know that there's NPL, but in Nigeria there are 4 tiers of football. The grassroots, the grassroots leagues are not properly funded. So if they're saying they want to do what's it called, an African Super League, I think it kind of makes sense because you're bringing the biggest clubs in all of Africa together, and it can be the same model. Whereas here, the profit generated is actually making a difference in the domestic leagues that. It's being paid back into. Do you get what I mean? So, like,
okay, but Bunyi, I want to ask you a question because here it seems like you're making an assumption that, or you're kind of fixated on the assumption that this Super League is going to be closed off, and like they rightly said, you know, these solidarity payments will still be sent to domestic leagues. Like, the fact that this is a more efficient money making machine than the Champions League is still going to be beneficial to the domestic leagues if the UEFA didn't move mad with the whole banning thing. Because the whole idea is, like Perez said, if they have more money, they're going to spend it on players. That's just the fact. And what I now want to say is, this is now an issue of the way in which we view the Western world, because it's the same concept.
Oh boy.
You know? It literally is the same concept. You can't back an African Super League and go against a European Super League. It can't work. because it's the same concept. It's just at a lower scale from a GDP perspective, or on the perspective of the US dollar, because that's what everyone in the Western world cares about and looks about and looks at. You know what I mean? So it's you can't eat your cake and have it here, you know?
Like, UEFA and FIFA are only upset because they couldn't slap their name in front of it. That is the only reason.
That's the truth. It's just shifting money. It's shifting
that is
money.
The only reason.
This whole thing was literally shifting money out of the pockets of one group of billionaires into the profit pockets of another group of billionaires.
Yeah.
Nothing else would have changed with about the whole system. We would have still watched the same footy. We'd have watched more of the footy that we actually enjoy watching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't really think, like, I think what we've allowed ourselves to do as a fan base is we've allowed ourselves to be completely manipulated by social media that is in control. We've allowed ourselves to be completely manipulated by UEFA. Quite literally, they had an agenda. They had very firm.
Sky had a massive agenda.
Yeah, all the established sort of systems that profit from what it is now, all had their roots and connections well poised to shift market, like to shift customer like sentiment completely away from the ESL. You could see it from the way Seferin was saying these things he said, calling them snakes, calling them all these harsh vulgar words. It was just a business decision.
What do you expect, though? Like, it links back to your point about what was the point you made again? I can carry on. I've forgotten what I was about to say.
I'm just saying, like, I just think we kind of got lost in the sauce here. Like, you know, people like to fight and shout about any little thing these days.
Yeah. So.
That's what happened here. We didn't really think too critically on what the Super League actually could possibly be.
Oh yeah, it links back to your point about how you can't just, like, they try to impose the league on fans, players, managers. You can't just come one day and try and impose such a big change.
Yeah.
Tell them. Jurgen Klopp said yesterday that he found out about the league just before his game. You get what I mean? Yeah. Like, you can't just come and impose this on managers who are actually going to be in the league, the players who are actually going to be in the league, and most important of all, the fans. Like, this is something that you ease in. So I guess why there's been a lot of propaganda, a lot of agenda against this league. And at the end of the day, as you said, it's business. Like, if these clubs decide to branch out, they're taking money from the conventional conventional system. So people like Sky, BT, don't get anything. Whereas you have big companies like Amazon, Disney bidding for the rights to show these games. You get what I mean? So, like, yeah, as you said, it's a business. It's both ways. Like, so you can't really come out against them for their agenda or the propaganda they are pushing. Do you get what I mean? Like, for their reaction.
I think timing was the main issue for the Super League, you know. Mm. I think the way in which they did it was just not the right execution. Conceptually, I still very much would look forward to seeing a Super League. You know, I don't think my opinion changes. I think it's a cool idea personally especially if I was a neutral fan. But I think they didn't do it right this time around. Maybe I don't think this is the end of it, Sha.
Same. I think it'll come back. I think it'll happen, like, eventually, be it under, like, a different body, or be UEFA who end up, like, reforming the league.
Exactly.
So much if becoming this. But I think eventually, like, we'll get to that stage where these big clubs realize that they are so much bigger than everybody else. They themselves can produce a much better product and get more money, like, by themselves, with them always being there, that eventually, like, they would always branch out and, like, be, like, a level above these guys. Like, it was bound to happen. It was going to happen. Nobody thought it was going to come, like, this abruptly. But I think most people knew, like, eventually we're going to get to a stage where, it's like, they've been talking about this since, as well, Arsene Wenger talked about it, like, how many years ago. People have been talking about this for, like, ages. Like, you knew, like, this was coming. Like, same, I think eventually we'll get to a Super League stage.
Generally, I think if Twitter didn't exist, we'd have the Super League in August.
I'm telling you.
I genuinely believe that in my heart of hearts. Like, we would have the Super League in August.
So what do you think of the whole idea falling apart so fast? Because as far as I'm concerned, this idea fell apart as fast as it came up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or even faster.
I was quite, I was very shocked.
Yeah. It fell apart. I personally, like, as we established earlier in the conversation, I'm not such an advocate for the Super League right now. Maybe I might be in the future, but I was actually excited to actually see what's falling apart. And these billionaires started coming out talking about trying to sell their clubs.
It's gonna be interesting to see all these clubs selling, man. It'd be so funny. Yeah. I think they said there's a rumor that one Premier League club is looking to sell. Like, I think it might be Liverpool.
Yeah.
So is that FSG out? FSG have done a lot of good things for Liverpool too, though. So
honestly, I think certain groups of fans are going to regret this. I really do.
Well, time will tell. Let's watch and see.
You guys have all made very good points. Time will tell, as we all know. Let's see what happens in the end. FIFA and UEFA might be the winners, or the billionaires might be the winners, but anyhow, once you look at it, just know the fans won't be the winners. So,
we'll end up carrying the bags.
That brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you all for coming.
Shout out to the Bias Podcast. I say shout out to the Bias Podcast. You know how we do.
we will catch you all next week after FIFA beats the billionaires, or the billionaires beat FIFA. But yeah, see you all safe.
Bye. R.I.P. Ed Woodward.
R.I.P. Ed Woodward.
R.I.P. Still doesn't have a job, Shaz, so we love it.